Good evening. You've heard tonight from Dave Nodder and from Mike Tess about what kind of person Gordon was. And I know if he was here tonight, he would choose for us not to dwell on talking about him. That's the kind of person he was. He was humble. He didn't like for people to talk about him. He liked to help others find their talents and their themselves. So I tell you to get up here tonight and to try to say to you what I think he would have to say to us tonight is pretty humbling. You know, it reminds me, and Jim Gosey told us to tell funny stories. Is that right, Gosey? So I'm going to try one here. Merlin Nielsen's sitting up here. I saw him a minute ago from the University in Lincoln. And I was at the university there during the time period that they built a new facility, added on to what was Marble Baker Hall, and built the beautiful facility I know a lot of you have seen on that campus that they've had now for 15 years, roughly. And I recall a seminar room that was down the hall from the Animal Breeding Graduate Student Office, where we had weekly animal breeding seminar. And to put this into context, you have to realize that Gordon was approaching his 50th year at that point in time as a professional in animal breeding. He was in his early to mid-70s at that time, and he knew how to put the fear of God into a graduate student without attempting to. That's what was unique and special about him. I recall that seminar room. There were 17 of us as animal breeding graduate students at the time under the various faculty that were there in Lincoln. And Gordon had a habit of falling asleep, so it seemed, during a student seminar. You know, a different student would give seminar every week on some assigned topic that we were reviewing that semester. None of us figured out, until we'd been there about a year, that Gordon really never fell asleep. He would be listening to what you would have to say. He would be collecting his thoughts on how he was to question you about it. And then, all of a sudden, he would wake up. And he would reach down into his pocket. He would pull out his fingernail clippers that were attached to his keychain, if I recall correctly. And he'd start clipping his nails. You were dead meat when that happened. Because he had heard you say something with which he could not reason. What was the term that Dave Nodder used? Reasonableness? Something that wasn't reasonable that you had said that he was going to question you on. It is indeed a pleasure for me to be here tonight and to offer to you a few of the things that I think Gordon would have to say to us as BIF in the year 2002. I think the first thing that he would do is emphasize the word encouragement. And you see that in the title that was given to talk about tonight. How would he encourage us as an organization? How would he encourage us as an industry to take on greater pursuits, to take on greater challenges than we've had in the past? So I'm going to try to do that tonight by asking to you a series of questions that I think Gordon would probably ask us. You've heard two speakers tonight, and Jim Gosey, I think, referred to this as well, talk about how good Gordon was at asking questions. He didn't ask trivial questions. He asked deep questions. He asked prodding questions. And he usually expected you to have some kind of answer, or at least some potential answer to those questions. So here's the questions I think he would ask us tonight after he recognized the organization and the BIF effort for 34 years of pretty remarkable progress. You know, I think he would say that it is unfathomable to him in a lot of ways how far we have come and how much genetic prediction has improved. And how much more information we have today than we had 34 years ago when this organization was founded. So he would compliment us first. That was Gordon's nature. And then he'd ask some of these questions. So this is Ronnie Green trying to paraphrase Gordon. So I think he would start by going and clearing his throat very carefully, Myra. And he'd ask questions like, number one, what exactly is the breeding objective of the beef industry? What is it? What are we using the resources that we have at our hands to produce? And how do we do that collectively, like you heard Mike Tess talk about, in a management and genetics perspective in a production system? I think he would ask us, is BIF taking an active enough role in helping to define that or those breeding objectives that we need to have in the industry? I think the second thing he would bring up is the fact that, you know, you've heard tonight how much emphasis Gordon had in his career on defining efficiency, whether it be biological or economic efficiency. We have been talking, as long as I've been around this business, about multidisciplinary systems approaches to the way to make improvement, whether it be genetics or whether it be management or whether it be a combination of the two. I think he would ask us, have we helped to accelerate that process? Have we done everything that we can to really, truly employ a multidisciplinary systems approach to beef cattle improvement? For example, the DESI model. We've heard about that. Tom Jenkins is here. He's on the program tomorrow. One of the primaries behind the development of that. Was it BIF that spurned that? Was BIF the entity that really tried to encourage the development of a tool like that? Or was it someone else? So I'd ask that question on behalf of Gordon. Do we have dollar values in our EPDs today? Do we have measures of economic efficiency in the genetic prediction tools which we utilize today? He would encourage us to look for those. We also saw in Gordon's work, and you heard it from both speakers tonight, how much emphasis he had in all species he worked in, whether it be swine or poultry or beef cattle or sheep or dairy cattle. His concern for the beef industry was reproductive rate. And you've heard that tonight from both speakers, both in terms of talking about twinning in his later work and in talk about the cost of beef production because of the cost of the maintenance of the cow herd with such a low reproductive rate by comparison to the other species. I think he would be encouraged by whole herd inventory reporting. I think he would be encouraged that there are efforts underway in the industry to attempt to get at what fertility really is and what reproductive rate tools can be applied to try to change that part of the efficiency equation. I think he would applaud us for the program we have the next 2 days. He would say, wow, we have an efficiency program the next 2 days. But at the same time, I think he would ask us the question, in reviewing your program in the last 10 years, it seemed to be kind of one or the other. It's talked a lot about carcass traits. It's talked a lot about new technology. Or, like this year, it's talked about efficiency. How come it hasn't talked about both? Back to that multidisciplinary kind of encouragement. Gordon was the person in my life that really changed my perspective on who the boss is, other than Myra explaining to me that it was Jane when we got married in 1986 in Lincoln. But he was well known to his students, and I struggled with this. I was 25 years old when I went to Lincoln to work on my PhD, and I thought that my efforts and objectives should be devoted to cattlemen. That I was there getting an education to try to help improve cattlemen. Okay? I came from the industry and I was going to help to change it. Gordon pulled me in his office one day and he said, "Who do you think you work for in your efforts?" And I kind of looked at him real quizzically and I thought, well, you know, obviously I'm trying to help the cattle industry. Improve the efficiency of cattle production so that ranchers and feedlot operators and others can make more money. You remember the comment Mike Tess said up here about illusory profit? I never understood that. Gordon talked about it, and I never did quite get a complete understanding of it. But his response to me was, "No, Ronnie, you don't work for the rancher. You work for the consumer." Now, that was in 1985, 1986, before it was chic in the beef industry to say that we worked for the consumer. Again, Gordon thinking outside the box. He was a USDA employee, and he strongly believed that his efforts were devoted to producing a better product at a cheaper price. That was what his effort was devoted at. And I think he would ask us to remember that tonight. This last one's a little controversial, or the last couple on here are a little controversial, and I just bring them up to stimulate discussion in the halls and the bars and other places during the next 2 days. I think Gordon would be a little confused, and he would ask us to consider, why is it that the beef industry has been as slow as it's been to adopt the concept of hybrids? I think he would seriously ask that question. You know, it's worked in the swine industry, it's worked in the poultry industry, we've played with it in the beef industry, but we haven't been very serious about it. And I think he would ask us and encourage us to ask why, and ask us to think about that, the use of heterosis and the use of breed complementarity in a better way than perhaps what we have. Now, in closing tonight, I want to say two things. One is, these questions I ask you tonight, if Gordon was here tonight, Gosey, he would have had a very elaborate slide. You've heard that tonight from a few people. It would have been path coefficient analysis. Larry Keene, one of the grad students from CSU, will relate to this. It would have been a very detailed path diagram and path coefficients describing all the relationships between all the questions I just asked you, to see if we could determine the causes and effects of what the answers to those questions might be. And it would be multicolored and multidimensional and all the things we've heard about tonight. But he'd want to understand the why to the answers to those questions. He'd want to understand the causes and the effects and the relationships and so forth and so on. I'm going to close tonight by just paying tribute to Gordon in the best way that I know how. Gordon defined for me the word servant. He was a servant to his family. He was a servant to his wife. He was a servant to his profession. He was a servant to his God. And he taught me that what was important is that what we should say at the end of the day, when it all comes down to it, whether it be BIF or whether it be me or whether it be any of you, what we should say at the end of the day is, have we made a difference in this profession? Have we contributed? Have we made the people who use our products and the people who produce those products, have we made their lives better? That's who Gordon Dickerson was. Thank you very much.